Sex, relationships, advice.
The Cooper and Anthony Show.
Well, Anthony, would you agree that radio is one of those jobs that everybody potentially thinks that they would want?
From the outside, I think they do. But once you get into it, a month in, you don't no more.
But I feel like in general, it's not hard to talk people into why radio is great. You know, because we do love it. We've been doing it a long time. If we really hated it, we wouldn't be here. And it seems like a fun job, and it seems like something that we enjoy doing. And it is. It's a fun job, and we enjoy doing it. So I feel like it's not hard to talk people into why radio is great. But have you ever done a job that is surprisingly good?
You would have to say radio from the outside, because when you look at all the perks that radio has, okay, you get free concert tickets.
Not anymore, but okay.
Yeah, well, in theory, you get free concert
tickets. You used to,
Okay, things we used to get. Let's go that way. things we used to get would be, I don't know, concert tickets and music and autographs, and you get to meet famous people and all this good. So there's a lot of stuff on paper that looks good. But in reality, it's 75 hours straight without sleeping and no money and no job security, and it goes on and on.
Right. Well, I meant more like, is there a job you've ever done that was surprisingly good? Like, okay, so for example, I was thinking the other day, I loved being a supermarket checker. Before I got into radio, when I was a kid and I was in high school and I had to take a job, I loved it so much I did it again in college. Being a supermarket checker is one of the best jobs out there. I'll tell you why. Nobody's in a bad mood. First of all, I know that now everything's automated, but if you go to a grocery store where they still have supermarket checkers, those people potentially should be happy. Here's why. You're there to get groceries. You know what I mean? You're not there. It's not the DMV. No one called you in. It's not a doctor's appointment. You're there because you're buying food for your family. You're buying food for yourself. Most people, the majority of people that came into at least my supermarket, were in a good mood and happy, and they had time. They had time to go food shopping. They had time to say hey. So it makes you feel like part of the community. The other thing I really loved about being a supermarket checker was it's finite. There's a beginning, a middle, and an end. They come up to your register. They put the groceries on the belt. You scan them through. You bag them. And then that's it. It's done. There's no more scanning for that person. There's no more bagging. And then you take the money and they're done. They're done.
Mm-hmm.
You have accomplish something. You don't take the work home with you. It's not like, oh, I still have to scan those 10 items. It doesn't work like that.
I'll save that for tomorrow.
Exactly. That's too much bread. I don't know why you're buying all that bread. I'll scan that tomorrow. Right. It's not like that. And there's something very satisfying about having a job that has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And when it's over, you just go home. Mm-hmm. You don't take the job home with you. Go into your local grocery store and see if they're automated. And if not, see if they're hiring. It's a great job.
Okay, so talk us in or out of your job. Do you have a good job that you would recommend, or do you have a job that you're going to say, like radio, stay away?
Stay away.
888-460-6002. The Cooper and Anthony Show.
Sex, relationships, advice.
The Cooper and Anthony Show.
If I would have found a job that I liked before radio, I would still be at that job.
You think?
Yeah, I wouldn't have gotten into radio. If I found a job I liked, I would have stayed doing that.
Well, why are you in radio?
Because I never found a job I liked. All the jobs that I had before radio sucked. So the radio was the last place I could go to.
I don't think that's what it is. I mean, for me, radio is like a calling. There were other things I was trying to do, and radio kept pulling me back in. And then people kept hiring me, and I was trying to find other jobs, and nobody would even look at my resume. Mm-hmm. I couldn't even get a meeting. And while I was desperately trying to find these other jobs that I really wanted, I kept getting handed radio jobs. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess I'm in radio now. And then I started to really like it. Then I realized, you know what? It's kind of a calling. Like, it's just, these doors are flying open. It's the thing I should be doing. And I met a lot of great people along the way. I have most of my closest friends are people that I met in radio early on that were still friends to this day, all these years later. So it's, for me, it's, it's a good place to be that I can't imagine being anywhere else.
No, I get out every now and then, and this chick keeps pulling me back in.
Shut up.
It's like a magnet. She's like the mafia. I can't get out. I try to get out. She doesn't let me get out. She pulls me back in. She's like,
that's right. No, I keep pulling working. You back in. Susie, what do you do for a living, and why is it a great job? Talk us into it.
Well, I'm a nurse.
Ooh.
But aside from being a mom, there's no better job. And now, I'll tell you why.
Tell me why.
It's the rewards. You know, it's when you talk with that family and they thank you for all the care you're giving, or that patient gets better, or there's something that you've done for them that their day is better and brighter. And I take care of really sick people, so it's pretty intense. It's a dirty job, and the hours aren't great. I work in a hospital, so there's holidays and there's weekends. But you know what? I work with cancer patients, and you know, we help them live and we help them die, and there's nothing more rewarding. It's actually a privilege, honestly. Mm. If that sounds strange, it probably does. But
it doesn't sound strange. I really understand that. It is a privilege to be there for people in their most precious moments and their most vulnerable moments, and you have to be an unbelievably benevolent, kind person to be the right person to be there for people when they're at those times in their lives.
Yeah, I think you definitely have to want to do it. I think you do.
Call now, 888-460-6002. The Cooper and Anthony Show. Sex, relationships, and advice. The Cooper and Anthony Show.
Talk us into or out of your job. Hi, Jill.
Hi.
Jill, what do you do for a living, and why is it great?
I'm a medical legal death investigator. It's kind of an odd term, but it means I'm not a cop. I investigate medical issues related only to death.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's very different. It's very different. But there's a whole group of us out there. They're very professional. And we work for board-certified forensic pathologists. Wow. And just like regular physicians in the community, very few people make home visits anymore. In other words, your cardiologist doesn't come to your home, nor does a board-certified forensic pathologist. So they send out trained medical legal death investigators to go into the homes and to decide the cause of death and the manner of death. And that's what I do.
And so, what's the strangest way somebody died? I got to know.
I've been doing this since 1990, and I've got a whole slew of the strangest way people
like
die.
Did somebody slip and fall and die that way, or what's a strange way?
Oh, well, you know, I've probably had five of those today. Slip, fall, and
yeah, that's,
you know,
boring. And the boring Anthony. Jill, tell us the real juicy
like a
ones.
Rabbit crawled in somebody's mouth or something like that. How'd they
yeah
die?
A rabbit crawled in their mouth. Jill, did you get a lot of that?
Not rabbits crawling in mouths, but people who want it to look like a homicide, stuffing stuff in people's mouths that are already dead, so it looks like they choked. Schizophrenics eat raw meat. Oftentimes, I'm not saying all schizophrenics, but frequently we find people who have schizophrenia who choke to death because, you know, something or someone tells them to eat, and they tend to eat raw meat, and they
That's
choke.
That's interesting.
So, yeah, there's a lot of very interesting things related to death. So I've had people whose heads have been cut off and cleaned in dishwashers because...
Oh, yeah!
No, you have not!
I've had people who have cut their bodies open and pulled out their liver. We've had...
Themselves? They did that themselves?
Yes. Just actually grab in there.
Wow!
And how do you prove that that's not somebody else doing that to them, that they did that themselves?
Well, usually there's a, you know, when these really difficult situations come up, usually there's a medical history relating to it. And it's not, you know, a person who is undiagnosed or who doesn't feel pain the way the rest of us do or the type of people that do this.
Amazing.
And call us back when a rabbit crawls in somebody's mouth. I want to hear that call. That'd be great.
It's a deal. You guys have a safe night and wear those seatbelts.
Sex, relationships, advice.
What?
The Cooper and Anthony Show.
We learned from a firefighter several things about what they do that you'd never expect. And a helicopter pilot who tries to talk us into why that's a great job, even though it sounds super dangerous. And something like only 10 people should ever do in the whole wide world. But that's next, because we're talking about what's your job? Talk us into it.
The Cooper and Anthony Show.
You know what that means?
Sex, relationships, and advice.
Do you have a good job? Do you have a bad job? Should we get your job or should we not? That's what we're learning right now.
Yeah. Talk us into or out of your job. You know, I left out. I'm a psychologist.
Yeah, but you've never made money doing it.
Well, that's a good point. Well, I've never made money doing it, but it's a good job. You know, it's still, it's fun to do the research and stuff like that. Somebody better than me could probably make money doing it.
All right, so, let's figure in your student loans. Is it a good job?
No.
Okay, there you go.
Well, the actual job itself is fun. Like, I enjoyed doing, I worked for Nickelodeon for a little while. I did some research for them. That was fun.
How much do you still owe on student loans?
More than I got paid at Nickelodeon. In fact, that was more of an internship. they just paid my, I had like a weekly stipend that didn't pay anything. You're right. Okay. So as far as money goes, psychologist, not good. But, you know, if you want to have fun and enjoy, you know, enjoy being your own boss.
Yeah. How's that going for you?
I'm still reeling from the death investigator.
I know.
I mean,
love that job.
People pulling out their own liver?
That's the type of job that every day is different. That's the great thing about that job.
Yeah.
Because never do you go on the next call that's going to be like any other call.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's why she probably loves that job. But so, and also, by the way, I don't know if you caught at the end when we were talking about driving and she said, buckle up. Mm-hmm. So when a death investigator tells you to wear a seatbelt, you wear a seatbelt because clearly that woman has seen stuff. John, what do you do for a living and should we consider it?
Firefighter.
Oh, now firefighter. I don't think people realize how difficult it is to become a firefighter.
Actually, that is a big surprise. That was surprising to me. It takes a long time. It's like trying to get into CIA.
Right.
You got to, you know, the polygraph test, the physical agility, take all these tests. It's actually very difficult.
And not everybody gets in. That's the thing. People assume, I'll become a firefighter and that's it. They're a firefighter. It doesn't happen like that.
No, when I tried to get hired, there were 130 people to try to get, I think it was 4 positions at the time.
Mm. Hmm. See, and that's the thing. People don't realize that. You have to go through. I mean, I have a friend who's a firefighter. On my show, Confessions of a Teen Idol, that's what Jamie Walters does for a living. And he was explaining to us that it's more difficult, especially in L.A., to become a firefighter than anything else. And in his class, there were, I think, 2,600 people for like 500 jobs, and they whittled them down, and then you become a firefighter, and then you're a rookie, and you could stay a rookie. You don't even make it up to a rank, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you're basically a rookie until people get hired below you, and then they're the rookies, obviously. So you got to take some time before you're not the rookie anymore.
Yeah, so that I really respect what you do because I know now. I mean, aside from the fact that the job itself is just something that I'm just in awe of, but I really understand what it takes to become a firefighter, and it's truly amazing.
Well, I don't think people realize too that we don't just fight fires. I mean, every imaginable emergency we have to train for. I mean, everything from building collapse to medical emergencies, car crashes, somebody stuck in a hole. I mean, everything imaginable we train on. Mm-hmm. And people don't realize that. They think we just fight fires. We're also EMTs as well. Some are paramedics also.
Right. Right.
Have you ever seen anybody with a rabbit in their mouth?
Not yet. Darn it. That probably happened.
Well, you call us back if that happens.
I will.
Anybody with a rabbit in their mouth, we're looking for.
Call now, 888-460-6002.
Wait a minute.
What is this show?
The Cooper and Anthony Show.
Say it.
Sex, relationships, advice. Uh-huh. The Cooper and Anthony Show.
That's all I want to know about. It's rabbits in mouth. That's all I want to know. It's got to happen to somebody, somewhere.
Did you see that in a horror film? Like, what is this thing with your obsession with people dying from a rabbit in their mouth? Like, what
rabbits
scenario
calling people's mouths?
Even...
It's like cats do and dogs, but I think rabbits do because it's warm and it's like a spider. They crawl in your mouth. I want to know if people die from that.
Okay. My guess is don't wait by the phone. You're probably not going to get many calls on that. Len, what job do you do that you could talk us into doing?
I'm a contract helicopter pilot.
Ooh.
I deliver new helicopters. I work for the U.S. government wherever they contract me to work. I fly EMS.
Oh, really? So you have to go get people that need to be rushed to hospitals and stuff?
Yep.
Oh,
correct.
Wow. And when you say contractor, does that mean, is that like a freelance job kind of thing? Where you, it's contract by contract, or how does that work?
Exactly. I might do seismic surveys for the oil companies. I might be working for the U.S. government on other jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Short-term, long-term, sometimes. Fill-in pilot for maybe a hospital, EMS service. Somebody gets sick and I fly out there and take a couple of shifts for them or a couple of weeks or whatever.
And does it keep it interesting that you keep having to do all these different jobs that you know you never, it's unpredictable?
Well, it's somewhat predictable, but that's what makes me available is the fact that I am available and they know that, so then they seek me out.
And what do you have to do to you have to become a pilot first, like go to regular flying school? Do you fly in the military? How do you become a contract helicopter pilot?
Actually, I was in the U.S. Army.
Mm.
I flew in the Vietnam War.
Wow. I think that's I've met quite a few helicopter pilots who have the same background as you do, paratroopers, or they flew in Vietnam, or something similar.
Well, that's the best training that money can buy. And it serves you well later in life.
Did you have to fly somebody to the hospital with a rabbit in your mouth?
No, I haven't.
Not yet. Not yet. But Kent, you know, just so you know, Jason and Jill are going to be looking for people dying with rabbits in their mouths. So if that happens.
Yeah, you look forward too there, Kent.
Okay, I'll look forward
to it. You call us too.
The Cooper and Anthony Show. Sex, relationships, and advice. The Cooper and Anthony Show.
We have a new game. It's called Say Uncle, and it's not a game that Anthony and I are playing with each other. It's a game that we're going to play with you. We are going to ask you dirty, sexy questions in front of your mother. And you are, or your father, depends on, you know, who your parent is in your life right now. But tonight we're going to be talking to a mother and a son, and we're going to ask him dirty, sexy questions in front of his mom until one of them says uncle. They can't take it anymore. Uncle.
And the bad thing is he lives with his mom. So
yeah.
When the game is over, he's still going to have to go upstairs and deal with her and eat dinner with her and record. And she's going to know things about him that a mother shouldn't know about a son.
She's going to learn a lot about her little boy right now. Yeah, a lot of stuff about his sex life. And we may learn a little something about hers, because at the end, we're going to flip it around and ask her some questions. That's coming up next.
The Cooper and Anthony Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Cooper and Anthony Show.
Sex, relationships, and advice.
Say uncle!
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 You about ready to say uncle?
Say uncle! Or die! Say uncle! Or die!
The game is Say Uncle with Jeremy and his mom Diana.
Say uncle.
We are going to ask Jeremy questions in front of you, and hopefully he'll be honest and give us honest answers. And the name of the game is Say Uncle. So if at any point either one of you are like, okay, this is like way too far, just go uncle.
Oh, God.
Okay, so we'll start easy, Jeremy. So this is question number one for our friend, the real Jeremy, on Say Uncle. The real Jeremy, where were you when you lost your virginity?
I was at a friend's house.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right.
Do I need to be more specific than that? Or?
Well, was it the friend you were having sex with, or was it somebody else's house?
No, the friend I was having relations with.
Oh, relations. Sorry. I didn't realize you're so prudish all of a sudden. Okay, fine. okay, so far so good. So question number two for the real Jeremy on Say Uncle. Diana, you all right so far?
I'm okay.
Okay. Okay. the real Jeremy, in total, how many people have you had sex with?
Two.
Mom, Diana, you good with that?
Any comment?
I'm just absorbing all this information.
You know? I still haven't had to talk about the birds and bees yet. I think we will after this.
Yeah, Jeremy, you're going to have to explain them to her. Okay, so now, Jeremy, how many one-night stands of those two? Or were they planned? Were they people in relationships with, or were they one-night stands?
No one I was in a relationship with, just friendly people that I was friends with. No, I honestly have never had a one-night stand.
They know that that's against everything that I ever taught them.
Excellent.
You don't do
I like you have some respectful kids there.
Yes.
Well, let's see if we could change that. The real Jeremy.
Uncle.
Aside from women you've actually had sex with. Oh, you said uncle already? No, come on. Can I finish?
Yeah.
Okay. How many D-pics have you sent in your life?
Honestly, I think one.
Because, only one?
Yeah, because I don't want that stuff all over the place. I sent one time to someone that I didn't even... I met them on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't even know them.
Can I curse?
Of course. Go for it.
That is totally f***ed up.
She was sending me her boobies, so I had to reciprocate.
I'm sorry, but that's messed up.
And the real Jeremy, you didn't put your face in there, did you?
No.
Okay, so it really could have been anybody. You really could have just gone to a page and just grabbed anybody else's D-pic and sent it.
I could have done that, and I was looking first. I was looking for some online that looked like mine to send over, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, so who's picking?
Mom, nobody. It was mine. It was just a black lady. I'm going to get out of the house, guys.
Well, either one of you can say uncle at any time, so...
I'm learning a lot. I ain't saying uncle for nobody.
I thought you'd like this, Diana. Yeah, I thought you'd like this. Okay, so the real Jeremy, here's question number... I don't even know what we're up to. Number, let's just say four.
Three, four.
On Say Uncle. 3-4, somewhere on Say Uncle. What is your go-to porn genre?
Porn genre. I like redheads.
Okay.
Redheaded MILFs.
We call them porn genres now. They call them tapes back in my
Yeah, genres now.
Yeah, there's a lot of categories now, Diana. There's probably too many categories.
Sounds like it's not even bad.
Have you ever, the real Jeremy, have you ever had any sort of make-out session, sex of any kind in your house, in your parents' house?
In my house? Yeah.
He just knows nobody better be in my bed.
Exactly.
And I would know.
Yes, because, she
would. Because when my husband and I, we went away and I came home and the tablecloth was off by an eighth of an inch, I knew there was a party in my house.
True story.
If
those sheets are not perfect, somebody's been in my bed and I want to know who.
Yep, that's why I don't have parties.
So the real Jeremy, were you ever in your mom's bed?
never, well, just myself to sleep when I had a back problem, because she's got one of those special beds, but that's it.
Sleep number bed.
All right, so last question. You guys are doing so well.
Wow.
Through the Say Uncle. This is pretty good. Last question here. The real Jeremy, have you ever walked in on your parents?
Never, thank God.
The Cooper and Anthony Show. Sex, relationships, advice.
You ready to say uncle?
The Cooper and Anthony Show.
Say uncle.
We have a brand new game that we're playing, but not with us. We're playing it with you guys. The game is called Say Uncle.
All right, now Diana, we're going to flip it on you. Have you ever had sex in Jeremy's bed?
Oh, God, no. Yeah, that's it. I don't know what goes on in that room. I have a philosophy. You put clean sheets on the bed once a week.
Yes.
But in between that, I don't want to know.
Was Jeremy's dad your first?
Yes.
You know what? I always want to know that.
Yes. We are together over 53 years, and we just had 44 years of marriage. 44?
And he's the only man 46. You've ever slept with?
Yes.
Wow.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. That's
Diana, have you ever gone through Jeremy's drawers when he's not home?
No. They're a mess.
I want to see what she's going to find.
I wouldn't even go through them.
Jeremy, have you ever gone through your mom's drawers when she's not at home?
Yes, but not look like. Actually, one time.
Oh, boy.
This was, no, not too bad. This was probably, I would say probably like 20 years ago. I was going in daddy's drawer and I found two condoms.
Mm-hmm.
I hope they were for you, Mom, but...
Oh, my God. Just like when I found the condoms in the wash. And I said, it's unused, by the way, in the past. I said, whose condoms are these? And at the time, my dad lived with us. And they go, oh, they're grandpa's. Oh, my God.
Oh, you guys have been terrific. Thank you so much for playing the game with us and not saying uncle and being honest. And we always like to learn as much as we can about the real Jeremy.
Yes, of course. And I'm glad you guys are back. And I look forward to listening to you guys.
Diana, thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
Oh, you're very welcome.
You're a great sport. And congratulations on all those years together. That's really amazing.
Yeah, that's
we'll
amazing.
Have to have you on the show so you can explain to us how to do that.
The Cooper and Anthony Show. Sex, relationships,
advice.
Showtime. The Cooper and Anthony Show.
Thank you once again to Jeremy and his mom, Diana. Neither of them said uncle.
Next week, we so have to do a you and your mom. And we'll never do it with me and my mom because right off the bat, uncle.
You're already saying uncle now.
I'm already saying uncle. I don't want to play the game.
Okay.
But you and your mom, yes, that would be brilliant. Look at you sweating already.
I know. I am sweating already. Just only because, no, because here's the thing. I don't know that I can necessarily, I guess I could be honest. I'll be honest about it.
You have to. That's the rules of the game.
Okay.
Have you ever had sex in your mom's bed?
Yes.
And does she know the person you lost your virginity to?
She knows one of them.
She knows. Okay. The first time, the real time you lost it, does she know that guy?
Yes, because she bought me the contraception.
Does she know you were banged so hard that your Apple Watch thought you were in an accident?
No, but I think you're going to tell her.
The Cooper and Anthony Show. Sex.
Sex with an attitude.
Relationships.
I had a relationship once.
And advice.
So you got any advice for me?
The Cooper and Anthony Show.
Hey, coming up, I was a man today. I was a real man.
Finally.
Finally, I could act like a man in front of my wife. I could show that I am the caveman man.
You saved her and you killed something.
I killed something. I'm not happy about it. But I'll explain next.
You can act like a man! What's the matter?
America.
Sex, relationships, and advice.
The Cooper and Anthony Show.
My wife can't sit still.
Uh-huh.
For 4 seconds. She can't sit still. She's got to be doing something. Cleaning, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So I go outside. She's moving the trash can, which we have one of these huge green rolling trash cans. So I go outside. She looks at me and screams and runs.
Ooh, because she saw your face? What happened?
She was running towards me. So away from the trash can towards me with this look of, oh, my God, I just saw it. So I know what that look is. That look is snake.
Oh, wow.
We have black snakes, and black snakes are fine. They don't hurt you.
Okay.
They eat other snakes. So
they're like squirrels. They're everywhere.
Right. So when she screams, it's a black snake, just leave it alone. It'll go away eventually. So I go over there. It's a copperhead.
Okay.
Which is one of the most venomous snakes in the country.
Oh, okay. All right. I don't know. I don't know my snakes. I don't know anything about all snakes to me would be run.
Yeah. Copperhead, you don't get to the hospital when it bites you, you're dead. So it's about this big. I mean, it's.
Did they tell you that when you moved down there? Like, what if you moved to the south from somewhere out west or up north and you don't know that? Did they give you the education? Do they say?
If you see a snake, you should leave it alone anyway.
Right.
You shouldn't go towards it. But now that I know it's. So thank God for Google Lens. you can put your phone on the snake and Google Lens it, and it will tell you what it is.
That's amazing.
And it came back and said copperhead, which I know a buddy of mine got bitten by a copperhead. He was in a hospital for like 3 months.
Get out. I didn't know that.
Yeah, these snakes don't play. So now I got an issue. I got a copperhead in the yard.
Mm-hmm.
What do I do?
You call the snake wrangler.
See, I thought
you call a guy. Can't you call a guy?
Can't you? No, because, okay, I got 17 animals. So 17 animals are going to go outside. This copperhead's going to get one of the animals, and that's going to be it.
Yeah, but that's why I'm saying don't let your animals out of the house and call a guy.
So never let the animals out of the house. Just stay away from the outside.
No, not never. Just until the copperhead's gone.
So this is going through all my head the whole time. So I go in, I get a bucket.
Oh, no. You didn't deal with this yourself, did you?
I'm going to put the snake in a bucket. So I turn the bucket upside down. I put it on top of the snake.
Oh, my God. You're a moron. You're going to make the snake angry, and he's going to bite you.
So then I flip the bucket on the right side up. There's put God. Something on top of it. So I got something on top of it, and I'm kind of opening it up and looking at the snake every now and then. The tail's going, and he's mad. So now what do I do with the snake?
I don't know why you got in this position to begin with.
So I was going to take the snake to the woods and let the snake go.
Yeah.
But then the snake's going to bite you when he goes. He's going to be mad.
You got to kill it.
I got to kill it. So I'm thinking, do I call the police? Do I call 911? Do I call the snake guy? Who do I call? I don't know. By the time they get here, I'm just going to go ahead and I'm going to, for once in my life, be a man.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to be, damn it, I'm going to be a man. I'm going to kill something. I've never really killed anything in my life. But, you know, men hunt and kill things.
You've killed some bajayjay.
I've broken some hearts. No, I got to look like a man in front of the wife. I can't look like a little girl.
Uh-huh.
So I got to man up at this point, and I got to save my animals. So I went and got a shovel and cut its head off.
Oh, why did you get your gun?
Shoot it with a gun.
Why would you shoot it?
No, I took a shovel and went in there, and he did not die easy.
You're very lucky that it didn't somehow like get away from you and bite you and kill you. That was really stupid. Don't ever do that again.
What should you do? So then I Googled it after I killed the snake and then threw the snake in the woods. The best thing you do if you encounter a copperhead is to leave the snake alone. Many bites and other injuries have occurred when people were attempting to kill the snake.
See, I just told you that. I said, don't do it because you're going to one little slip up. You're not a snake expert. One little slip up. You are dead.
No one has ever been bitten by a snake while they were leaving it alone. So now I read that. Yeah, I'm an idiot.
Yeah, you're an idiot. And now you have one murder under your belt.
The Cooper and Anthony Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sex Hour, an hour of your sex and relationship questions.
The Cooper and Anthony Show.
Ooh, I love this hour. I love listening to your questions. Beth, kick us off.
I've been married for 17 years, and my problem is I have a crush on the married man that I look with, and nothing inappropriate has ever happened, and obviously, for a lot of reasons, it would be a bad idea to let him know how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is not whether to let him know how I feel. Yet my question is, how do I get over a crush? I've worked with this guy for a few years. After a couple years of looking with him, I moved to a different department, taking him out of the suit. Maybe just getting a little distance would be good. And now instead of seeing him on a daily basis, I just see him occasionally. And I feel so silly. I feel like a teenager. And honestly, I would like to just get over this and not have it be something that keeps coming up for me. So I guess my question is for you or for your caller, do you have any advice on how to get over a crush?
Beth, a study in the Journal of Sex and Marital Therapy found that 70% of married women have crushes, and it's usually on somebody they work with. So totally normal what you're going through. Totally normal. You can certainly window shop, but just, you know, don't buy, basically, is what they're saying. So if you're finding that your crush at work is distracting, the first thing to understand is that, you know, who he is as a coworker would not be who he would be as a lover. Like, your fantasy about it is better than the reality. So in your mind, it would be you're fueling your crush thinking this would be so hot. He's got all these qualities and you're sort of putting all these qualities on him that probably are not there, that probably don't exist. So understanding that is a really big and important thing to help you along your way of getting over your crush. You know, attraction to another person, totally natural, also uncontrollable. What you can't control is what you do about it. The best way to get over a crush in this scenario is to let your husband know. And it sounds counterintuitive, I know, but what it does is it actually builds trust and intimacy between you and your husband, where you're kind of sharing this crazy thing like, oh my God, I have this weird crush on this coworker. And you can make a joke of it, like make light of it. Don't sit him down and say, Dan, I have something to tell you. Like, don't do that. You're not going to tell him. It's not that big a deal. Instead, I would make it into something funny. Like, got to go put on lipstick, got a meeting with my work husband today, you know, make it kind of like something funny. And once you start sharing it with your significant other, once you start making kind of a joke out of it, you take the wind out of its sail, you normalize it, you make it like not that big a deal. My boyfriend would think it was hilarious, but there are certain husbands that would be like concerned.
I love that your boyfriend would laugh along with you. I, on the other hand, if my wife came home and said, I got a crush on a doctor at work, I would hang out at their work waiting for him to get off, and then I would break his legs as he walks to the car.
It's not his fault that she has a crush on him.
It doesn't matter.
He didn't do anything.
He's going to be crawling to his car from that point just because he's in her head. And two, how you get over a crush, bang him. Because after he bangs you, he's going to walk past you doing this from now on with his hand over his face. Like,
shielding
I don't even
his
know.
Eyes from you.
I,
yeah.
I don't even know who
like you
are.
Like, you owe him money.
Yeah. That's how you get past a crush. You bang him one time. That's it. Move on. Then get a crush on somebody else.
That's terrible advice. Do not have an affair just to get over a crush. That is really stupid. And it's going to screw things up at work as well.
888-460-6002. The Cooper and Anthony Show.
Putting on a brand new show.
The Cooper and Anthony Show.
Sex, relationships, and advice. The Sex Hour going on right now. Dr. Cooper, that's her right there. She will take your calls. Call us now.
Hi, Carlos. What's your question?
I had a question about disclosing
that you've had a vasectomy to someone that you're dating. I have one kid already, and obviously positive that I don't want more. So, and I'm only 30, and I usually date younger girls. Just wondering when I should disclose. I know not right away, but how far in? I know a lot of girls that I have been dating don't say right away whether they want kids or if they're planning on it or if that's what they're looking for. So I'm just wondering what you think about that.
Let's ask our resident vasectomy expert over there. What would you do if you were single right now and dating? How soon would you disclose to your 20-something-year-old girlfriend?
My Twitter account would be Anthony Shooting Blanks 14.
vasectomy.com. Yeah.
Vasectomy 1369 Anthony. That's what my username would be. I would tell you from the get go, you looking to have kids, swipe left because it ain't me.
Hi, nice to meet you. My name is Carlos Vasectomy, whatever your last name is. Vasectomy Smith. Yeah, I'm shooting blanks. Yeah, I'm with you on this. I think telling somebody super early is really important because you want them to know what they're getting into right from the beginning, especially with younger women who, you know, might be looking for something, the one. If you're just hanging out and having a good time, you know, you just want to have sex and it's not going to go anywhere. Even then, like I'm with Anthony, just tell them immediately. What's there to disclose? That's who you are. They want to get to know you. You know, I have a child. My name is Carlos. I'm 6 feet tall. I had a vasectomy. I like strawberry. Like literally those are the facts about you. Put it right out there right from the very beginning.
And it depends on how old you are, because the old broads like Cooper, they dig that. But the young chicks, they want to have kids. But the old broads, they don't want to get pregnant. So they actually enjoy that. So that's why you make it your username.
Yeah, you should exactly. You should start dating older women. The 20-somethings you're dating, don't get out of there. Right. Start dating us older women. 35 plus, right here.
It's Cooper and Anthony.
Okay, ready?
The Cooper and Anthony Show.
Sex, relationships, and advice. Your good pal Cooper right here, Dr. Cooper, got a degree in this stuff just so I can give you an actual answer and not just my stupid opinion. Science! Leah, what's your question?
I've been married to my husband for about 2.5 years. We've been together for about 7.5 years. And recently we've been talking more about sort of fantasies and turn-ons and things like that. When we got together, we never talked about necessarily being monogamous forever or exclusivity for the duration of our marriage. It was just kind of assumed, as a lot of people just sort of assume, that when you're married, you're monogamous, which I know is not good. But we've never discussed it before. And as we've been talking more about our fantasies and everything, I've debated asking him whether he really wants to be monogamous and exclusive forever. But I know that I do want to be monogamous and I don't want other partners. And that I also am not really comfortable with or open to the idea of him having other partners. So what is there any merit in me asking him this, knowing that if he said that he did want other partners, then I would just be sort of shutting him down and saying, well, you can't have them, too bad.
Of course you should ask. I mean, the fact that you're telling us what you want and don't want and not telling him. I mean, that's your husband. He's the one that needs to know that you want to be monogamous and anything other than that is not okay with you. He's the one that needs to know that, especially since you've been discussing your sexual fantasies and your desires and where you see the relationship going sexually and all that. You know, but don't feel bad that you didn't discuss it ahead of time. It's a lesson that you really should. It's an important conversation, but straight couples just assume monogamy. Like nobody starts dating and says, hey, I'm into monogamy. Is that cool with you? And that's because it's always the default in heterosexual relationships. And it makes sense because, you know, even the government, like there's no tax structure for a polyamorous situation with 3 or 4 people raising kids together. You don't get a tax break for that. You know, it's even got religious connotations, you know, a man and a woman. There's even a commandment against infidelity. So no wonder it's our default. But you actually, at least nowadays, have to have the conversation.
Let's role play this, okay?
Okay.
So you're home, you're making dinner. I'm coming home from work, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to ask me if I like one chick or whatever, however you should ask. honey, I'm home.
Hey, babe, you know that conversation we were having the other day about, like, sexual fantasies and our sexual relationship moving forward?
Right.
So I was listening to the Cooper and Anthony show, and, you know, they have so many people calling, talking about, you hate that guy?
Yeah, I hate that guy. But okay.
Everyone hates that guy. Yeah, but they like the girl. they were having, you know, everybody calls that show and asks about open marriages. I was wondering what you thought about that, just in general, not for us, but just the concept of an open marriage.
I'm all for it. It's great. It's how you keep the marriage going.
So are we in an open marriage now?
Oh, haven't we been? Uh-oh. Scene.
The Cooper and Anthony Show. Sex, relationships, and vice. The Cooper and Anthony Show.
His girlfriend broke up with him because he never told her about a previous DUI years earlier, and she felt betrayed. Is she right to be upset? And they just started dating, but she hates the way he dresses. Should she tell him? That and more of your sex and relationship questions coming up in the Sex Hour.
The Sex Hour.
An hour of your sex and relationship questions.
The Cooper and Anthony Show.
Sex Hour time, a whole hour of your calls. Call us now. Dr. Cooper, she's on the other line right now, and she will answer all your questions about sex and relationships and blah, blah, blah.
Hey, Noah, why are you calling?
I'm calling because my girlfriend of 2 years, who I love dearly, recently broke up with me. Hmm. And I wanted your advice on whether there's anything I can do to get her back. Here's what happened. 2 years ago, 1 month before I met her, I got a DUI. Mm-hmm. I'm really ashamed of this event, and I regret it deeply. However, the incident took place in a different state than the one I reside, so this made understanding its impact and consequences on the status of my driver's license really confusing. 6 months later, I learned that my license in my home state had been suspended and later revoked entirely. 3 weeks ago, I was pulled over for a minor traffic violation and subsequently arrested when the cop ran my license and found out it wasn't valid. My girlfriend is understandably really, really upset when I finally came clean about everything, and she broke up with me for keeping such an enormous secret from her and doing something illegal for like a year and a half. Also, she explicitly stated that she can never trust me again, end quote. I understand that what I did was wrong and that she's really upset, but I wanted to know if in your mind there's anything I can do to try to obtain her forgiveness and to take me back and trust me again.
She did you a favor. She sounds awful and super judgmental. You know, first of all, you can't unring that bell. And she is not willing to accept you for who you are and go through something like this with you. This is nothing. I love how you're framing it like you didn't disclose this to her as if you had robbed a bank or murdered kittens. I mean, yeah, a DUI is terrible. It's awful. And once she found out about it, she should have been like, that sucks. I hope you never drink and drive again. I really have a problem with that. And that's it. The fact that she broke up with you over it, over a mistake that you learned from after doing something stupid and not understanding or accepting you, what a bitch. Seriously. I mean, people have worse things go on in their lives. And the reason she did you a favor is because what she revealed to you is that she's somebody who is completely judgmental and intolerant. And if she can't hang with you through something like that, moving forward, anything else that goes on in your life that's worse, she's definitely not going to be there for you. You need to be in a much more stable relationship. Don't you think, Anthony?
Here's a reenactment.
Okay, you love reenactments. Here we go.
No, this is an actual reenactment of the phone call, because he gets one phone call, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Noah gets one phone call from jail. Yeah.
He gets one phone call, so this is the first thing you're going to hear is the, will you accept the charges? Okay.
Okay.
This is a prepaid call from an inmate at the county correctional facility. All phone calls are subject to recording and monitoring. To decline this call, press 9 now, and to accept this call, press 1 now.
Hey, honey.
Yes, Noah?
I'm in jail.
What?
I've been driving for a year and a half without my driver's license, and they found out and they took me to jail. You need to come up with $500 and come and get me.
I can't believe you didn't tell me that you had a suspended driver's license. You've been driving with it. You're so irresponsible. I definitely don't want to have babies with you because you're going to leave them on the roof of the car.
That falls under the category of none your business. It was before you.
you don't come and get me, I'm gonna bang your sister. You better come and get me. You've got 15 minutes to get here. Bring some meth too, because I owe the guy some money.
I love how he went from having a suspended license to suddenly being a meth dealer. It's a slippery slope. You know what, Noah?
Goes maybe your quick in jail.
Was right.
You get your ass sold in jail, and you got to think quick.
Call now, 888-460-6002. The Cooper and Anthony Show. The Sex Hour.
What is that?
An hour of your sex and relationship questions.
A whole hour.
The Cooper and Anthony Show.
Autumn, what's happening?
I recently started dating this guy I met at Swing Dance Class about 2 weeks ago. And things are going really well. We talk every day. He's a great listener. He's extremely smart. And he's very kind. And to be honest, he's probably the most emotionally available guy I've met in a year and a half. So I'm really excited. There's just one little thing. And that is he is probably by far the worst dresser I have ever met. And certainly ever considered dating. He wears clothes that are too big for him. He is a fan of khaki cargo shorts and kind of cheap, like, white sneakers.
Nothing wrong with that.
Socks. He wears casual clothes and non-casual settings, such as a cheap kind of white sneakers in, like, a restaurant with a fedora also. I mean, really clueless when it comes to dressing himself. He's 27, around my age. And he's never been in a long-term partnership. So it's quite possible that he's really just never known that he comes up this way. So my question is, obviously it's too early, 2 weeks in, but I guess I'm curious whether or not I have the right and at what point I would have the right to bring this up as a concern.
I don't think you have... Well, I mean, I can't say what rights you have, but I don't think it's a good idea to bring it up. It's not a good idea to say, you're a great guy, you're really handsome, but you dress like crap. There's no nice way to tell a guy that the way he dresses is terrible. What you do instead is you go shopping with him and you pick up a shirt that you'd like to see him in and say, this would look awesome on you. Oh my God, you have the best body. These pants would look so good. Or this shirt goes really well with your eyes. You know, I have subtly done that with every man I've ever been with. And most men, especially like straight men, so interesting. Like they don't know. They don't know what they're wearing unless they're really into fashion or they have a lot of gay friends around them. I have found that most straight men who are not really into fashion, who are just like, you know, regular dudes, just wear regular dude stuff. Mm-hmm. They need women to kind of shape them, but you have to do it in a very subtle way. You can't come in and insult him, make him feel badly, because he is a really great guy. My joke with one of my old boyfriends was, it's too bad that clothing doesn't have an expiration date. Like, you pick up the pants, it says, do not wear past 2006. Like, they need an expiration date on clothing.
Mm-hmm.
But they haven't done that yet, only milk. So I think it's a good idea to buy him things you want to see him in. For just a, you know, hey, I was thinking about you. I got you. I was shopping. I thought this would be cute on you, you know, or a birthday or Christmas, or buy him clothing, go shopping with him and just kind of nudge him in the direction you want him to go in.
Oh my God. I agree with Cooper. Holy cow. Yeah. Just buy him stuff. If you don't like the shirt that he wears, go buy him another shirt.
Yeah, don't say anything. Just hand him clothing.
No, because if you come up to me and say, I hate the way you dress, I'm going to say, well, I hate the way your breath smells. Go away. We've been dating 2 weeks. Have a nice life.
Yeah, I mean, he's perfect in every other way. Nobody's perfect. Everyone has things you don't like about them. If the worst thing about him is that he wears cargo shorts, and by the way, they are coming back.
Thank God, because that's all I own.
Good. It's funny, like, you were in fashion, out of fashion, and now you're back in fashion with the same cargo shorts you've had for 20 years.
As soon as parachute pants come back, I'm in.
You're on it.
I'm on the cover of GQ.
The Cooper and Anthony Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.